It's always a pleasure to be here in California to visit family and friends and to join my brother priests. And it's such a joy to be with them, especially the differences in Detroit and California at the same time, the beauty of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ, especially for us as Chaldeans in our liturgy. And as I was praying with the day, it just, you know, it was on my heart to talk. There's like a sensitive topic in like California, Detroit, politics and things. And I was like, you know, I'm a visiting priest. I don't want to cause problems. But, you know, I just feel like God put it on my heart. Just hear me out and we'll talk about it and we'll go from there. I just think, you know, as a Detroiter, that In-N-Out Burger is overrated, right? I just think that every time someone comes to California, we gotta get In-N-Out Burger. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, all right, it's a cheeseburger. Did you get an animal style? I'm like, I did get an animal style. Wasn't it amazing? Sure, yes, California, it's the best. It's amazing. I can cry every time I come, you know, but it's just a thing. And then when you guys come to Detroit, there's a Wisconsin burger joint called Culver's. It's my favorite. So I'll take you guys out when you guys come visit me, because I'm just saying, it's better. You know what I'm saying? So, but one time when my nephews came to visit, this is about a year and a half ago or so, they were super excited about like getting In-N-Out Burger. And it was like, I was like, listen guys, it's a cheeseburger. So like lower expectations of life. But the reason when the kind of is actually applies to the homily here is that they were just excited for it because it's like something new, something different. They never had it before, so like they were so excited about it. Which is the nature of, I think, of humanity, right? Everything in life that happens that's like new, we love it. Whether it's a new car, new pair of shoes, or like the new Padres season, or whatever it might be, like something new that we get, we're just kind of excited about it. And then as the nature of all things that we get excited about that are new for the sake of being new, it kind of becomes old. Or we get less excited about it as days go on, which is, again, the nature of humanity. For example, I'm here in town for a wedding, which is very beautiful. Everyone's very excited for the new bride and the new groom, and everyone's like cheering for them. We have a huge party for it, as it happens for most weddings, all weddings. Same thing for a new baby. Everyone's really excited, you have a new baby, all these things. But then the nature of all things is like, great, now we're excited, we're so happy for you. Now go and live your marriage life. Now you're a new baby, great, now parents, raise your children in God and in righteousness and in virtue. There's something very beautiful about that, that we should all in our own minds say that that's so beautiful and new. At the same time, now what? And now we invest deeply into whatever it is that we have started. Again, as an example, this day, this week, we call this Chosh Abachata, New Sunday. It's also Divine Mercy Sunday, but that's kind of a new thing. It's very beautiful, but it's a very new, but it applies, and we'll get there. Is that in the history of the church, in the Chaldean church, when we used to really, really evangelize, like in droves, by like whole villages would convert to the faith of Jesus Christ. What would happen is they would go on this journey of faith, and then on Easter they'd be baptized, and they would be celebrated all week. They'd be wearing white, they'd be all joyful, you're one of the new Christians, welcome to the clan, welcome to the family, welcome to the home, all these things. And then on Chosh Abachata, on New Sunday, on today, they would remove their white, and they would now just live the Christian life. Which is very beautiful. Then they would just live it and be part of the Christian family, which in my opinion should be the goal. Not just new things for the sake of new things, for the dopamine hit, but for an actual life in Jesus Christ. Now as followers of Christ, we have to have that balance. There's a twofold balance of how we live our lives. That we're excited for the day, that we really enter into the day and we want to become followers of Christ and evangelize all these things, yet our minds are constantly on eternal life. Constantly thinking something beyond ourselves. I'm like, what happens when I die? What happens when I go to the Lord? Am I ready for that? Are we going to live double 50 years old? Probably not. So how do we live our lives looking toward that? At the same time, every day, not just today, but every day, hoping our hearts in Jesus Christ. That's what we hear in Colossians when St. Paul is preaching to the people in Colossia. It says, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That has to be us, brothers and sisters, not just decades ago, centuries ago, when we would welcome in new Christians, but for us as followers of Christ, that we have had this journey of faith in Lent, and I'm sure it's the same for all of you, of every Catholic community in the world, that they enter deeply into Lent and they're giving up chocolate and coffee and they feel so good, they feel close to God, and then Easter comes and we're all celebration, and then it's today. Today is kind of like that day, just like those who received the Christian faith centuries ago for the first time. Today is new for us. And how do we sit there and say, all right, I journeyed through Lent, I grew closer to God, I prayed, I fasted, I gave alms, now what? And the now what is to go and live the Christian life in holiness and faith and do exactly what Jesus came to give us. That right before he died, he gave us the Eucharist and the priesthood and said, do this. That it's focused our hearts on the heart of Jesus and the Eucharist. And then, after his death and resurrection, the first thing he does to his apostles is give them authority over sin. And say, go and forgive people of their sins. That you have assurance of forgiveness of sins in the gift and of the gift of faith that Christ has given to us in the church of confession. That as we pray with divine mercy, that it's like a gift to God. Oftentimes, people can be aggressive against the church. Like, why do I have to confess to a priest? Who is he? Like, we're nobodies. We're broken people who are in need of God's mercy and love as well. But it's a wrong perspective. The perspective needs to be, thank God that Christ had the wisdom and the humility to give up along to God alone, forgive sins, to every priest in every corner of the world. You have access to God's mercy. Not just in Jerusalem, sitting on a throne waiting for us, but here, always. Bother your priests. I know they're busy, okay, we get it. But like, bother them. We need confession. We want God's mercy, right? And it's appropriate time, and it's appropriate place. But give our hearts back to Jesus. So as we pray with Choshev HaChatha, with a new Sunday, that's my prayer for all of you, is maybe we didn't welcome in thousands and thousands of new faithful into the church, which is a different homily for a different day. But we're here. You matter. That I matter, that we can renew our faith. For the first time, we're baptized and for the first time, confess our faith. We can renew our faith. We can be constantly renewed in the faith of Jesus Christ by opening our hearts to the baptismal grace that's given to us. And today is new, tomorrow is new, every day is new in Jesus Christ. Amen.